D-Maze, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick, fast asleep, hopefully. It's 11 p.m. in Stockholm, Sweden. Willie with the Predators.
You got a game tomorrow.
Yes, the Predators finally have a game in Sweden tomorrow, a 1 p.m. Central puck drop. You can hear that game right here on 102.5 The Game. Our show will be on the air as soon as that game is over. So we don't know exactly what time we're going to be on the air tomorrow. It won't be at 3 o'clock. We will be on the air at some point tomorrow afternoon. It just won't be at 3 o'clock. And we will, of course, welcome Willie back with open arms next week.
It's been going to overtime.
It could go into overtime. Yeah. And the Predators, if it goes to overtime, the Predators are going to probably lose because they always lose in 3-on-3 overtime. But we will get to the Predators in a little bit. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet will join us at 5 o'clock for his weekly segment. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff to get to with him on the Predators. But let's attempt to answer the question that we were going to answer earlier. Yes. Until we got sidetracked by Chad, who wanted to do a victory lap on Sam Darnold, which is fine.
Yeah,
I'm all for a victory lap. Who doesn't love a good victory lap? Who doesn't love to pat themselves on the back? Mm-hmm. I'm down for that every once in a while. I try not to do it too much.
But this is a two-mile race.
Okay.
And we've only been through a quarter of the way.
Mm.
So you still got a long way to go.
We'll see.
Still got a long way to go.
But look, the Titans, the season, it's effectively over. They do have games to play, but they're 1-8. The Texans are in town on Sunday, as we discussed in the first hour. If you don't live in Middle Tennessee, you're SOL, because these games won't be on, or this game, not these games, this game, Texans at Titans, is not being aired in Memphis. It's not being aired in Chattanooga. It's not being aired in Knoxville. Davis Mills will be starting at quarterback for the Houston Texans.
Davis Thrills.
I know Robbie Stanley loves him. Some Davis Mills. You got to love a quarterback with a long neck. He's all neck. Him and Mike Glennon, all neck. So Davis Mills will be starting at quarterback for the Texans. Some encouraging news for the Tennessee Titans, for what it's worth. Jeffrey Simmons back on the practice field today. Limited with his hamstring injury, but he did practice, so there's that.
Merton Hanks was the original long neck, just so you know.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Good to know. Here's a random fun fact about this game.
Yes.
The Texans have the NFL's top-ranked scoring in total defense, and the Titans have the league's last-ranked scoring in total offense in the NFL in 2025. This will be just the sixth time since 1970 that the NFL's best scoring in total defense will face the worst scoring in total offense entering the game. The top-ranked defense is 5-0 in the previous five meetings with an average margin of victory of 15.8.
So, well, this is going to be a battle of the wills, right?
Yes. A war of attrition,
exactly.
Perhaps?
Exactly. Will the best defense
the worst offense
be able to score on the best defense? This is appointment watching, okay? It's appointment watching.
There's a storyline for you if you're exactly. Looking for a storyline for this game.
Exactly.
But look, the number one story for the rest of the season is how Cam Ward continues to develop. He's got the most to prove, bar none, in the second half of the season. So here's the question I want us to answer, and you can too, 615-737-1025. Outside of Cam Ward, which Titans player has the most to prove in the second half of the season? I'll start. We played the clip earlier. I think it's J.C. Latham. I think it's J.C. Latham. And I understand he missed several weeks with a hip injury, but his season to date has not gone well. Pro Football Focus charges J.C. Latham with 6 sacks allowed, 1 quarterback hit, 7 hurries, and 14 pressures. PFF has this stat called pass blocking efficiency. The definition, it measures pressure allowed on a per snap basis with a weighting towards sacks, a deeper dive into a player's pass protection efficiency that goes beyond just the traditional sacks allowed. J.C. Latham has a pass blocking efficiency rate of 94.3, which ranks 177th out of 192 tackles, guards, and centers with a minimum of 100 pass block snaps. So J.C. Latham, when he has been on the field, has been one of the worst offensive linemen in the NFL in pass blocking. And again, I understand that he missed some time and that's going to put him behind. But I think that J.C. Latham needs to show in the second half of the season that he has what it takes to be a franchise right tackle. That you know for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, however many years, that J.C. Latham has that position covered. So far this season, Derek, it has not looked like that.
No, it hasn't. And it's unfortunate because, you know, we thought that the Titans were doing him, you know, what was best, and to put him back on the right side where, you know, frankly, many thought that he should play regardless. Anyway, he shouldn't have never been a left tackle. Some people had him as a right tackle. So the Titans put him back in that space, and, you know, due to injury and him just not, you know, doing the things that they thought he would do, it hasn't worked out the way the Titans thought. So at least not the first half of the season. You know, and listen, hopefully, you know, he's fully healthy now with the bye week, and we will see a much better J.C. Latham as you move forward, because if it doesn't get better, now you got to question whether you need to go get some type of insurance at the right tackle position. Because this was, in your mind, you envisioned J.C. being your right tackle and Moore being your left for the next at least 3 to 5 years. But it seems like by the play of both of them, that may not happen. So not only do you may have to go get a left tackle, if your right tackle doesn't show that he's improving, that's going to be another position that is going to be a question mark heading into the offseason. So I have no problem with saying that J.C. has a lot to prove. But I think the guy in my mind is Calvin Ridley, because he started off slow last year with the drops, and then all of a sudden – you know, after, what, the fifth game, somewhere around the sixth game, he started to come on and be, you know, at least the number one for the Titans.
It was right after, coincidentally, wink, wink, right after DeAndre Hopkins left the team.
Exactly. They traded him away. So then his production picked up. Well, again, he started off the season slow. He's had his drops, and he's been injured. I think what he does from here on out is going to dictate how much interest he has next year. Because I don't believe, and I could be wrong, I don't believe he will be with the Titans next year.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
So unless this young man just, you know, just do a 180 and become one of the top receivers in the National Football League in the second half of the season, then you got a dilemma. Should we keep him or not? But I think if he does it, you know, do that, or if he doesn't show that, you know, he can be a viable option, not only do I believe his career here will be over, I don't think there will be many suitors, especially not at the price that he probably would try to command. Again, I think he's still a good player. I've always thought that, but he's been too inconsistent. And if he doesn't pick it up this second half of the season, and they don't even know if he's playing this game, he's back at practice, and that's great. But if he doesn't show up this second half of the season, I don't think he's going to be here unless he does a 180. But his market, I think, will be smaller, much smaller, if he doesn't go out and show that at worst, he's a bona fide, you know, stud of a number two. He has to prove that. If he doesn't, then why am I going to be ready to go out and sign him or bring him on my team or even trade for him? Let's say that. Why? You hadn't shown me anything. So I think, based upon that, Calvin Ridley, and it's going to help the other receivers, and it'll help Cam Ward too. He must have basically a turnaround season this second half.
615-737-1025. You can answer this question as well. Outside of Cam Ward, so take Cam Ward out of it. Which Titans player has the most to prove in the second half of the season as the Titans prepare to open the second half of the season against the Houston Texans on Sunday? One texter says, what about Dan Moore? I think Dan Moore is another great choice. Again, we played that clip earlier of Mike McCoy talking about Dan Moore and J.C. Latham. And by the way, it doesn't get any easier this weekend when Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson come to town. The two of them have combined for 14 and a half sacks this season. So it doesn't get any easier from there. In that same pass blocking efficiency rate that I cited with J.C. Latham, Latham ranking 177th out of 192 qualified offensive linemen. Dan Moore is 168th, tied for 168th. So just a little bit better than Latham, but still among the worst tackles, guards, and centers in the league in this pass blocking efficiency statistic. Moore has allowed, according to PFF, 7 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, 13 hurries, 25 pressures. So Moore hasn't been great either. And I think we talked about this last week, Derek. The rap against Dan Moore in Pittsburgh was he allowed a ton of sacks. Mm-hmm. And I know that we had this conversation when the Titans signed Moore. Well, how much of it is Moore? How much of it is playing with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields?
But then we say, well, he went up, the bulk of the sacks was against Myles Garrett.
Right, and Trey Hendrickson.
And Trey Hendrickson.
And all that stuff. And look, you have to overpay for left tackles in free agency because the best left tackles don't make it to free agency. So Dan Moore is absolutely a choice. Josh says, Legarius Sneed. I think that ship has sailed, Josh.
Yeah, I think that's gone.
He's saying it facetiously, but I'm going to still answer it anyway. Yes, I think Sneed just needs to prove that he can stay out of trouble and maybe get back on the field. But again, I doubt that's going to happen. One texter said, Steven says, the Titans have to decide whether to pick up the fifth-year option of Peter Skoronski after this season, making the remainder of this season critical. Peter Skoronski, look, I know he's a guard, and guards are not fun to talk about. Who wants to talk about a guard? This is not the NBA. In the NBA, you love talking about guards. In the NFL, who cares about guards? But Peter Skoronski, I've been really impressed with him this season. I'm looking for him in the same pass-blocking efficiency rating. He's tied for 42nd out of 192 qualified offensive linemen. So he's been really good this season. And again, he's a guard. This team's success does not hinge on Peter Skoronski, but the statistics show he's been playing very well. Again, and it's hard to get people excited. Hey, at least the guard's playing well. But at least the guard's playing well?
Okay. In regards to Peter and the fifth-year option, I think it would be best for the Titans if they because I'm trying to figure out what would be that fifth-year option price. It may just be better to sign him to a long-term deal than to give him, what's that fifth year? Let me see. They don't even have it on here, so I don't even know what it would be. And I'm looking at Spot Track. So it may just be best that they sign him to a 3-4 year deal, because it's not going to take a lot, I don't think, to keep Peter Skoronski. Now somebody else may choose to, pay more, then you may want to do the fifth-year option. But I think if I'm the Titans, I think he's developed and he's shown that he's developed. I would reward him and assign him to a 3-4 year deal or 5 year that ends up being a 3. So you know that you have some stability at the left guard position and no one else. Because, listen, he's not a tackle, but there are teams that are looking for some guards. So you don't want to be one of those teams where at the end of the season, your left tackle ain't playing well, your right tackle is still a project, and the only guy that seems to be developing is your guard, and you don't want to sign him. That doesn't look like a team that talks about draft, development, and retain, does it? No. This is a rhetorical question. So to me, after this season, I would just get a deal done with him. I wouldn't even worry about the fifth-year option unless you're going to do the fifth-year knowing that you're going to sign him eventually to a longer-term deal. You're just trying to put it off for a year. You're trying to do some other things. But if not, sign Peter to a four to five-year deal, with three of it being, you know, after three you can get out of it.
Do you think Peter Skoronski could reset the guard market?
No.
No?
No.
The highest paid guard in the NFL by average salary is Tyler Smith of the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. $24 million average salary.
No, he ain't even nowhere close to that.
Trey Smith of Kansas City, $23.5
million. No.
Landon Dickerson of Philadelphia, $21
million. Mm-mm.
Chris Lindstrom of Atlanta, $20.5 million.
Okay, let me say this. I'm not going to say, because I've always stood by this. I don't know. We may think that he's worth this or he's not worth that, but it only takes one team. You know, it only takes one team. If Peter Skoronski feels that he's worth $22, $23 million, okay, go out there. And there may be one team that says, you know what, we got enough good guys around us. You're developing. Boom, we're going to slap you in there, and you're going to complete our offensive line. Then the Titans got to make a decision. Do we, you know, offer him a contract that may be more than somebody else? But right now they don't even have to worry about, because they could just slap, you know, they could just do the fifth-year option with them. But I don't think that he may. Again, there may be one team out there, but from what I've seen, he's not going to reset the market. Now, how much he's going to get, I don't know. But when you talk about resetting the market, you're talking about all-pro guys, perennial all-pro guys, guys that are not even Pro Bowl guys, but guys that are ranked at the top of their position. Those are market-resetting type of guys.
Right. Quentin Nelson is the guard that gets mentioned a lot when you talk about best guards in the NFL. Quentin Nelson, by the way, a 7-time Pro Bowler and a 3-time All-Pro. He makes $20 million a season.
That's a guy. Guys like that, they reset the market because of the things that they've done. Peter has gotten better. He didn't start off great. He's gotten better, and he's still developing. But when you go to the table, they want to see what you've done. Like
Steven says, who mentioned Skoronski, says his fifth-year option would be $20 million.
They may want to just sign him to it. They may not want to give him that $20 million. They may not. They may want to do a, you know, work out a deal, you know, with them. But if you're saying $20 million again, you're talking up there with the guys that have been perennial all pros and guys that have been really good at their position for multiple years. And Peter hasn't been that. So, yes, the fifth-year option is $20 million, but Titans may say, man, listen, let's just sign him to a longer-term deal. We don't want to fork over $20 million to a guard that he's okay, he's getting better, but he's not worth $20 million. And then Peter may say, no, we choose to do something else. Say, I'm holding out. I don't know.
Liam on our text line says, D-Mace audibly shocked guards are making 20-plus LOL.
Yeah, I'm like, man, goodness, $20
million? It's great work if you can get it.
Exactly. If you can get it, get it. I'm not here saying, you know, what you can and what you cannot get. But, you know, when you talk about those guys, those are guys that are perennial all-pro guys.
As I like to say, I have to clean it up. But to quote the esteemed state senator Clay Davis on The Wire, I'll take someone's money if they're giving it away.
Absolutely.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on this question outside of Cam Ward. Because I think the answer is Cam Ward. So let's move Cam Ward off to the side. Outside of Cam Ward, which Titans player has the most to prove in the second half of the season? 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will pick up this conversation on the other side. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Western Kentucky this Saturday at 2:30. It's a big rivalry.
Western Kentucky, some say.
Ouch.
Wow.
I'm a true blue, man. 100 miles of hate.
Hey, I don't
man.
Blame you. I say the same thing.
100 miles of hate. MTSU Western Kentucky this Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com.
With Gunnar Helm, it seems like whenever he does get a target, you know, it's a completion. Would you like to see more opportunities for him, especially after against the Chargers, he only got one target?
I want to see more completions all over the board, not just to him. Everybody. You know, we got to do a better job to be more efficient offensively. And when he gets his opportunities, without a doubt.
So knowing when he does get those opportunities, it seems like it's frequently a completion. So, like, is there something you can do to get him the football a little bit?
Yeah, you know, you go into, there's plenty of plays that he's in there that you have a game plan for to say, you know, he's the number one guy in the target, and they take the play away. So, it depending on what the coverage is, that happens in every, you know, with every player you have certain targets. If you looked at a call sheet, there's certain things you want to get to the backs, to, you know, receivers that are in there, tight ends that are in there, and there's a certain coverage. But yeah, you know, he's definitely made the most of his opportunity, so he should get the ball more.
That was Mike McCoy on Gunnar Helm. Gunnar Helm, 20 catches on 25 targets this season. That is an 80% catch rate. Pretty damn good.
Feed him the ball.
So we're talking about which Titans players have the most to prove in the second half of the season. I mentioned J.C. Latham. Derek mentioned Calvin Ridley. We talked Peter Skoronski. I would throw Gunnar Helm in that category. I agree with the sentiment of feeding Gunnar Helm the ball more. Again, he has caught 80% of his targets, 20 catches on 25 targets. Looking at qualified receivers, not just tight ends, but running backs and receivers, Gunnar Helm's 80% catch rate ranks tied for 26th in the NFL.
He's a big body, huge radius.
Out of 141 qualified receivers.
Yeah. It showed me on that, you know, I forgot what game that was, and it was a third down, and Cam, the dude was draped over.
Is that the Helm. Arizona game?
Yeah, and he threw that out to him. And he threw it in that catch radius that only Gunnar Helm could come up with, being 6'5". That's what you need to continue to work on. Those type of catches and getting him into a rhythm. Because the more and more he makes those tough catches, the more and more confidence he builds as a pass catcher. He's a matchup problem, being that big, and he has speed to get down the field. And he's shown that he can make that combat catch. So it would behoove them to get him more involved. Now, I understand you can you can make him the first option and then them taking it away, but you also can design a play in such a way that, hey, listen, if they take away that first option, here's Gunnar Helm, boom, that second option, that third option, back. They'll always be aware of that guy coming across on that drag route because he may be open. So you can always fit him within the scheme or whatnot, but they can't move forward and say, you know, well, we're not going to target him this much this game. There needs to be a concerted effort, not just with him, but I think with DK and Elik as well. Now, Elik leads all of them with the exception of Chig. And, he leads everybody in targets. So they need to sort of expand on that more, not just with them, but with Gunner and with DK. And, again, you know, Ridley, you're back. Now is you got to prove to us that you are the number one option instead of, oh, we're you're the second or third guy.
By the way, because I just mentioned the game in Arizona, at some point, somebody is going to put together a list of the worst losses in NFL history, and that game is going to have to be on it for the Arizona Cardinals. Just thinking back to it, everything that happened, the fact that the Titans could go 1-16 and only won a game because the Cardinals vomited all over themselves. Like, I know it's been weeks since that game, but man, what a terrible loss by the Arizona Cardinals. Just terrible.
Yeah, and it was a good, can I say it was a good win for the Titans in a sense? But I guess fans are probably like, no.
Look, Cam Ward did his part at the end of the game. So good on Cam Ward. But if the Titans end up falling out of the number one pick, pick slot.
People look at that game.
Titans fans will be like, damn it, Arizona. So,
and one of those on that comeback, one of those passes was to Gunnar Hill.
Yes.
On the sideline.
It was. Josh on our text line says, most approved. What about big boy in the middle, Tavondre Sweat? That is a good choice as
you're
well.
Right, you're right. And I do. I hope Tavondre is one of those guys that, you know, because he's in a situation right now because his name was in potential trade rumors. Maybe you're not in great favor with the organization right now. And you can even see by the way that McCoy answered the question about Tavondre Sweat. There was a little apprehension in there, like, we're trying to get him. Not he is getting himself. It's like they're trying to get him going, like, oh, come on. We're trying everything. So I hope that Tavondre, and it seems like, you know, he is. Listen, take that personal, man, and come out this second half and prove to them that you were worth that second round pick, and you plan on, you know, building on what you did last season. So yeah, they're right. Tavondre do has a lot to prove this second half of the season as well.
One texter says, Tony Pollard may have to prove he's still got something in the tank. Otherwise, I don't see him on the team next year. This is Larry, by the way. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a running back. Well, I don't think Tony Pollard's going to be on the team next year anyway, do you?
No, I don't. If he's on a team, I mean, honestly, I would rather – it's just like Derrick Henry. And I'm not saying he's – Derrick Henry. I'm just saying the situation's sort of like Derrick Henry. Listen, Pollard has shown what he can do here. He's a tough, hard-nosed, you know, runner, and he's a lunch pail type of guy. Right now, in the position that the Titans are in, they need more than that. They need a game changer. They need a dynamic player at that position. His talent is better suited for a team that's ready. Like, if he goes to Kansas City, it fit right in, you know, or say the Chargers, he'd fit right in. They're ready to go. They're ready to roll. And he just needs to be a strong part of what they do. Here, it's almost like you need to be more. And right now, I mean, Pollard, good back, but he's not the dynamic back that I think this offense needs. And I think that's why Tajay Spears is going to – they keep on giving him opportunity after opportunity because they see that in him. He just needs to stay available long enough for him to be able to consistently put it together. But either way, I don't think Pollard and I'm not saying that because I don't think he could play. He's just not for this team.
One texter with two submissions. Mm-hmm. One, Snead needs to prove his innocence more than anything on the field at the moment. Ayo!
Yeah.
That same texter also said, improved Wildcat formation success, such as never using the Wildcat formation again ever. Because that was a thing a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I think they – that wild card was – I'm not sure. I wouldn't completely get rid of that Wildcat play. I wouldn't get rid of it. But it just almost seemed like they just threw it in there just to be throwing it in there. Like, let's see if this worked. Because had they went to that play before that game and have they been in that play since that game? Now, maybe they do in the second half. But it seemed like they it's almost like you need to work at that play some more in practice. Really work at it and like 100 times before you decide to go out and run it again or make it more of your offense. You know, that was just like, oh, let's do this. That's the way it felt. And it didn't work neither time.
I'm just thinking about this game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Texans at Titans at noon at Nissan Stadium. And between C.J. Stroud not playing, Davis Mills starting. As I read to you before, the Texans have the top total in scoring defense. The Titans have the worst scoring and total offense. Maybe Jeffrey Simmons comes back. Maybe Calvin Ridley comes back. This game, I can already tell you, it's going to be a tough watch. The Titans are a tough watch anyway, which brings us back to our original point today about how, at least according to 506sports.com, only Middle Tennessee is getting the Titans game this weekend. Memphis isn't, Knoxville isn't, Chattanooga isn't. I guess those cities got the memo that, hey, the Titans are a tough watch. But, of course, living in Nashville or in the Middle Tennessee area, you're obligated to show the game. But I just, look, I'm going to watch it. But, man, I just have this feeling already. Like, I have a feeling that this game is going to be, like, some disgusting offensive slog where the final score is, like, 13-3.
It has the potential to be that. I'm not saying that it's not going
you
to.
Just prepare yourselves now. You have 3 days. Just put yourself in that frame of mind. Just think to yourself, man, this game is going to be ugly.
But we also can think, okay, they've had a whole week to evaluate, you know, the first 7-8 games of the season, things they did wrong, things they did right, and, you know, you figure they improve on them. Let's do this some more. They come out the first game and they do some things that they haven't done or plays they haven't shown, because that's the way that's how it happens. You know, if you have a bye week, out of that bye week, there's going to be a handful of plays that you hadn't shown. Yet in the season, unless your bye week is later in the season. But right now, there's still a handful of plays out of the play action and this other stuff that they haven't shown. Hopefully, those plays will now enter into the playbook, and hopefully those are the things that they will do against the Houston Texans that the Texans are not, haven't planned for or haven't prepared against. And, you know, maybe just for this game, they end up having a good offensive output against a team that has a very good defense. But because the Titans have had that extra week to prepare and self-evaluate, it may come out, it may look a little different, at least for this game when it talks about the Titans' offense. I'm hoping that's what happens.
One texter says final score is 19-9 for sure. I just double checked this. That would not be a scoregami. There have been 19-9 games in the NFL. Let's quickly go to Ed in East Nashville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Ed, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, real quick, guys. Yes. Hey, listen, you know, I'm just thinking about the Titans situation the last couple of years, and I think the only mistake, and I say only, but it's a pretty big mistake. I think the mistake they made 2-3 years ago when they had thoughts of getting rid of Derrick Henry, Tannehill was hurt, we had a lot of talent, they got rid of A.J. Brown. At that point, they should have treated it like an old car. Do I get a new car or do I try to keep repairing this car? And they started bringing in free agents, and they should have just rebuilt the program 2-3 years ago, and I don't think they would be in this situation. I don't think you can – bring in free agents, pay out all that money, because you're not going to win. That's just the way the NFL is. We didn't have a quarterback, so you weren't going to win. I think they should have just, cut ties with all those free agents and just started building within the draft. What do you think, Derek?
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. I think a part of the reason why they didn't is, the owner comes out and says, we got a young, exciting quarterback, and she was talking about Will Levis. And when your owner comes out and says something like that, in off season or leading up to the season, I mean, there's no rebuilding. You ain't rebuilding. You're just going to try to add on to and go for there. They tried to add on to Legarius Sneed, stuff like that, and it just hadn't worked out. And maybe the caller's right. Maybe at that point in time when Derrick Henry was nowhere to be found, and Kevin Byard was gone, and this was even before AJ. It was after AJ, so you knew AJ was gone already, but maybe then they should have said, you know what, let's do this reset right now. Even though Will Levis is our quarterback and we believe in him, let's still do a reset and kind of go from there, but they didn't.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on which Titans players have the most to prove outside of Cam Ward in the second half of the season. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet will join us at the top of the hour. But before we get there, Derek, you asked me a question today about the Predators. and something that you think we should keep in mind when discussing how the team has been struggling. Well, I put on my big-ass glasses, and I did some research, and I will provide that answer for you coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are brought to you by Bax Homeworks, which financing options are available. I didn't know which tag to read there. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com.
I'm just curious, how much do you guys miss your captain, Roman Josi, not just on the ice, but also off the ice as a leader?
No, I mean, first of all, Roman should be here. I think he and Smitty and Jeff Biddle, our trainer, obviously would have loved to have all three of them here. But on the ice, you miss him tremendously. He's obviously an all-star player. He's you know, one of those guys that can just change the game in any moment, given his talent. And just as a leader, too, it's obviously a leader that, you know, you want to play with, you want to play for. And yeah, so I think simple as that, Roman should be here.
That was Philip Forsberg in Stockholm, Sweden, his home country, as the Predators prepare to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins in two games as part of the NHL's Global Series. First game tomorrow with a 1 p.m. Central puck drop. Sunday's game an 8 a.m. Central puck drop. Both of those games, of course, right here on 102.5 The Game. So you heard Philip Forsberg there, Derek, talking about Roman Josi, who's been out for the past 10 games with injury.
And that's not even dating back to last year. I mean, he missed a lot of games last year.
That's correct.
And then he misses 10 games this season.
Correct. So you asked me, because we've been talking about the Predator struggles and what to do with Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz and all that stuff. And you asked me this morning, how much of an impact has the absence of Roman Josi made on the Predators? And should we take that into consideration when discussing the Predator struggles? So here's what I did. As you mentioned, Roman Josi has missed considerable time over the past two seasons. He has missed a total of 39 games over the past two seasons. So 39 out of the Predators' 100 games since the start of last season, Josi has been out of the lineup. The Predators' record with Roman Josi in 61 games, 21 wins, 32 losses, 8 overtime losses. Without Josi, 14 wins, 21 losses, 4 overtime losses. So the NHL, the way they track these things, it's called points percentage. Simple enough. How many available points are you getting out of the total games? The Predators' points percentage with Roman Josi in the lineup since the start of last season, 0.410. The Predators' points percentage without Roman Josi in the lineup since the start of last season, 0.410.
Wow.
They have the same points percentage with and without Roman Josi in the lineup since the start of last season. So
that's that the end all? Like, is it just as easy or as clear as saying, you know, or looking at it and saying the point difference is exactly the same? Or can we look at it a little bit more nuanced than that and say,
okay,
listen, if he was on the, if he's on the ice in those losses, maybe they're different.
Well, here's the thing. Roman Josi is still one of the top defensemen in the NHL. The list of defensemen who I would take over Roman Josi on my team, there aren't many of them. Now, that list has grown over the past few years. There was a time not too long ago where I could have counted the number of defensemen who I would take over Roman Josi on one hand. Now you probably need to, maybe part of a third. But Roman Josi to me is still one of the top defensemen in the NHL. So I get your point. But what I thought I might see when you asked me that question was, the Predators' record was significantly worse without Roman Josi than with Roman Josi. But just looking at the points percentage with and without Roman Josi since the start of last season, it's identical. So before anybody says, well, clearly the Predators don't need Roman Josi anymore, that's not what I'm getting at. My point is, as nice as that sounds, mm-hmm. and Willie has made this defense as well. You heard it on Monday when we had Willie on the show. You heard it yesterday when I talked to Willie from Sweden. It's something to point at. Hey, the Predators haven't had Roman Josi in the lineup, so let's cut them some slack. Based on simply the records, mm-hmm. I'm not cutting any slack. It's the same. It's identical.
But you are, with your big ass glasses, you are smarter than that. You know that it's not.
You're
just
giving
that.
Me too much credit.
There's more nuances in it, because say if the last minutes of the game you got Roman in, it may look a little different than when not having him in the game the last minutes, or having him on a power play compared to not having him on a power play. I think there's just. And this is, listen, y'all know how I feel about analytics. I love analytics, but damn it, just let me look at the game first. Let me watch the game. And then I'm not wiping away analytics. Willie and Adam, they love analytics. I like analytics.
Watch the
they
game, nerd.
They love analytics. I'm just saying, let me just watch it, okay? And I got to believe if Roman Josi was fully healthy and playing, and not getting hurt, coming back, having to work through that, getting hurt. If that had not happened, then maybe, just maybe, the team looks a little bit different. I understand what the numbers say, but I would love to have seen that team with him in those circumstances that they did lose without them. What would it have looked like had he been in the game? I know what it looked like before, and I know the numbers say the same in regards to that one analytic.
Well, it's not really an analytic. It's simply the record.
Yeah, it's the record. But let me – if he had played those games, would it have been different?
That's a question I can't answer. Look, again, the Predators –
and that's what analytics does. It answers – it tries to answer the questions you can't answer or I can't answer.
The Predators are worse off without Roman Josi. Record mm-hmm. aside, the Predators are worse off without Roman Josi. But I am unwilling to use his absence as a crutch. A crutch. That's a good word. I was going to say a workaround mm-hmm. for the Predator struggles, because the Predator struggles are across the board. Josi hasn't been Roman Josi, but like even a less than stellar Roman Josi is still a pretty damn good player. Yeah. You know, the problem is that the team has just been a disaster since the start of last season, and that's what makes these upcoming games against the Penguins tomorrow afternoon and Sunday morning locally here. That's what makes those games so important. If the Predators play the way they did on Monday, tomorrow and Sunday, again, like I can't see a scenario where the Predators don't make some sort of change. I mean, I guess I could, because Barry Trotz has defended Andrew Burnett tooth and nail. And we'll talk more about this in just a few moments with Elliot Freeman. We'll get the inside scoop from the esteemed insider from Sportsnet. But I said on Monday, this week is critical, not only for the team, but for the coach. And the first test was a gigantic failure. So I appreciate your question. I'm going to pull out the Mac Rhodes from talking about Vanderbilt and Notre Dame. I appreciate your question. I just can't get there. I was actually astounded to find out that they have identical points percentages mm-hmm. with and without Josi in the lineup. I was expecting the record to be better with Josi mm-hmm. than without him. But it doesn't all hinge on Roman Josi, but he is the player on the team who can make things happen out of nowhere, mm-hmm. like really nobody else on the team can. So we'll see when Josi gets back into the lineup. I believe the Predator said when he first left the lineup that this injury, whatever he's dealing with, is mm-hmm. unrelated to the POTS
okay.
that he was diagnosed with over the summer. So that's a relief, I suppose.
Yes.
But you can never rule out, you know, some sort of head injury with Roman Josi just because he has a history of those. But we will get back to the hockey conversation. We'll ask Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet all these questions about Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz and where the Predators go from here. Because for my money, nobody has better information on the NHL than Elliot Friedman. And we will welcome in Elliot Friedman to the program coming up next, 615-737-1025. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.